point of view. You're tuned in to the right place. You're listening to Radio Aryan.
Gentlemen, our next speaker is, well, like I say, is a quite remarkable man, and I'm proud to call him also my friend, the leader of the British Voice, Michael Whitby.
Thanks, Paul. It's only my mum who used to call me Michael. And that was usually when she was telling me off. thanks for inviting me to speak. I really appreciate it. For this year events, we know the people very well, but the name is relatively new. But I don't think I should mention their names on camera because they may not want me to, but certainly they've been doing this sort of work for many years, as we all know. So thanks very much for putting this on. And there's going to be many more like this, I understand. So we look forward to those. What I'm going to do here is, as Paul said, I'm from the British Voice. The reason we chose the British Voice is that when you go around knocking on doors asking people what their views are, 8 or 9 times out of 10 they'll say, well, us British people, we don't matter anymore. We haven't got a voice. The government cares about the foreigners, the interlopers, the immigrant invaders. People use all sorts of expressions to get that message across. They look after them, they give them everything they want. Our people get nothing. So we thought the British Voice is a good name. So we've come with that for the last few years. So what I'm going to do now is an audio visual presentation, if you don't mind. I'll get through it as fast as I can because I'm under instructions from our friend behind the camera to not to go on too long. So if you go to... Right. Following on what some of our colleagues have said so far, Great Britain is unlawfully and unconstitutionally ruled by immigrant invaders and their offspring. And you might think, well, they've only just come just recently. Well, that's not true. They've been here for a long, long time. Now, I'll expand on that in a few minutes, but some people say, well, a British person is obvious by the colour of his skin. It goes a lot deeper than that. There's only three types of human being in the world. There are Caucasoids, Negroids, and Mongoloids. Now, some Negroids and Mongoloids are pale-skinned. But all three are completely different. Not just the colour of the skin, the skeletal system, the cranium, the DNA, the cultural habits, the stem cells, everything within each of those people are unique to each other. So why should we all be thrown in a melting pot? Whose agenda is that? So anyway, we tend to call our people Caucasoid. So we're going to the next page. Foreigners and their offspring dictated the British people, and corrupt politicians have allowed us to become tax debt slaves to the global bankers. Despite our constitution, we are forced against our will and our better judgment to pay huge amounts of money in taxes, unnecessary taxes, most of which goes to foreign bankers. Many British families are living on the breadline, and many of those who are not are just 2 months away from homelessness and destitution. They miss 2 months' mortgages, they're out of the house. 2 months' mortgage, 2 months' mortgage payments. Unwanted immigration is killing Britons in more ways than one. And we're being overrun and outbred in our homeland by Negroid and Mongoloid peoples through acts of genocide. Now, as it says in red there in the middle, genocide is the intentional actions to destroy a people. Okay, that's a particular group of people. By politicians with vested interests. The British people have been far too trusting of politicians, and those traitors have consistently lied to the British people and been guilty of high treason. Yeah. Britain has actually been overwhelmed by Mongoloid and Negroid immigrant invaders, not by accident. This is being enforced upon us by the controllers to make us all a mixed race. You know, as Arlene said about Eleanor Roosevelt, just think about her last name for a few minutes, and that will give you an indication who the controllers are. She was talking about this back in the 40s and 50s, about mixing the races and turning the whole world into pale brown people. It's absolutely appalling. Anyway, Britain is... Britain is actually overwhelmed by Mongoloid invaders, that's the one. And politicians continue to exacerbate the problems by bringing even more people to our land. Keep that in mind, this is our land. Unless the British people demand change urgently, Britain faces a disaster of epic proportions. Now, you can say, well, what's a constitution? Some people say, well, Britain hasn't even got a constitution. The United States has, you know, this country has that. We have got a constitution. It's older than all of the other ones. The United States took theirs directly from the Magna Carta. The United States celebrate the Magna Carta every year on Magna Carta Day. We don't, because our, and let's say the word, scumbag politicians that rule this country want to throw the Magna Carta in the bin, and they want to rewrite our constitution to suit themselves. And if we allow them to do that, every time we get a different government, and they'll rewrite it again to suit themselves. Whereas we've got the oldest constitution in existence. But the MPs and the, you know, the Lords, they ignored it all. So, let me just go through our constitutional laws, which the politicians treasonously ignore. We've got Alfred's Law from 1893, which is the ancient common law. That had existed for thousands of years, before they wrote things down. The common law existed. Alfred was merely the first person to have it put into writing. And then that same thing was reinvented in 1215 when they called it Magna Carta, virtually the same document. The Statute of Northampton, 1176. High Treason and Misprision of Treason, 1328. If anyone's got any questions, I'll ask them at the end if that's all right. The Statute of Premunire, 1353 and 1377. The Act of Supremacy, 1559, Petition of Rights, 1628, the Grand Remonstrance, 1641, the Sester Kay Act, 1666, Declaration of Rights, 1688, Bill of Rights, 1689, and the Oath of Allegiance in 1868. Now, keeping those things in mind that I've just mentioned to you, which are hardly ever used these days because the politicians know about them and they flatly refuse to follow those rules. Instead, they choose to impose unlawful legislation on us. Now, before I read these out, there's two words you need to focus on. The difference between lawful and legal. Lawful is common law, which is God-given law that's existed forever. And there's legislation, which is parliamentary rules and regulations, not actual laws. Anytime a legislation conflicts with law, with common law, it's bad legislation, and it's unlawful legislation. So all these on this board are all unlawful legislation. And they're designed to keep us down and keep us under the thumb. We've got the Race Relations Act of 1965 and 76, the European Communities Act of 1972, the Nationality Act, 1980, the Public Order Act, 1986, that's to keep our lips sealed, the Human Rights Act, that sounds good, doesn't it? It's actually designed to keep our human rights in the bin. Okay, that was 1998, Tony Blair. Anti-Terrorism, Crime and Security Act of 2001, Prevention of Terrorism Act, 2005, so we go from the Labour government to the Tory government now, or just about to. All of the above are in favour of foreigners and their unlawful legislative acts. if we go back in history to a little bit of our constitution, the Act of Supremacy, 1559, was Queen Elizabeth I. She made the statement, no foreign prince, person, prelate, state or potentate hath or ought to have any jurisdiction, power, superiority, preeminence or authority, ecclesiastical or spiritual, within this realm. In 1601, good Queen Bess, as she was known by the people, also announced the expulsion of the Blackamoors, because they were trying to do it back then, and she wasn't going to have it. She insisted that they stop sneaking these people into the country. So I think we know who was behind it. They've been behind this for hundreds of years. So, should the politicians be allowed to get away with treason? Should anyone be allowed to get away with treason?
No.
Treason is, if you think of the act of murder, treason is a million times greater. Because it's a plot to basically kill everybody. And they're being allowed to get away with it. Now, the punishment for treason is hanging. Tony Blair thinks he repealed it in 1998. He didn't. Because it's part of our constitution. He can't repeal our constitution. So the punishment for treason is hanging, and that will remain the same. And people will pay their debts at some stage.
Yes.
Now that decision is up to, whether we accept it, the decision is up to every one of the indigenous people of the British Isles. You must demand freedom for future generations of your own family. It's now up to the indigenous peoples of these isles, and that means every one of you. Not just in this room, every one of you watching this on telly, on video. A couple of people have said to me recently, well, I'm in my mid-50s now, I'm quite a bit older than that, incidentally, but that's what they said. And, you know, I've done my bit for God knows how many years. It's up to the kids now. Well, it's not up to the kids alone. It's up to the kids, and the middle-aged, and the older generation. I mentioned this to Richard, who will be, you know, an excellent speaker, who will be coming on shortly. A couple of weeks ago, and he was stunned, and he said, why would they not want to do it? They're still breathing, aren't they? If you're being attacked and you're under pressure, your family are being threatened with elimination, you can't just say, well, I can't really be bothered, you know? Everybody's got to get involved. So, to set the rules of how we're going to be governed, and such rule must revolve around our ancient constitution and common law. Make no mistake, if you leave it to the politicians, they will lie to you again, and they will stab you in the back again. Before two world wars, rightly or wrongly, for our freedom. That's what our people, our forefathers were told. But the corrupt politicians and the banksters have enslaved us all. We will not allow politicians or anyone else to destroy our people and our homeland. Indigenous Britons must be first for houses, jobs and everything. No point in saying, well, you know, we should be first in this queue. Everything. Nobody else can ever come before a British person in these isles, in our country. As it's the same with people of every country in the world. Why should anyone from the outside have more rights than those indigenous people in our country? It doesn't matter whether they're Caucasoid, Mongoloid, Negroid, they are. It's their homeland. This is our homeland. Nobody has a go at Mongoloids and Negroes for supporting their own country. Oh yeah, they're standing up for their country. And they call communist murderers in Africa and other parts of the world. Fighting for their states, they actually call them nationalists, which is really weird. But murdering people in the process. That's how Africa was subjugated, and lots of other countries, Russia in particular. Almost 100 years ago to the day, in middle of November, there was 100,000 immigrants. Now, you remember the Russian Revolution. It wasn't actually a Russian Revolution. It was a war against Russia by 100,000 immigrants. You know, those of us who've read the books on the subject know where to find this information. It's all on the internet as well. Now, can you imagine any other country in the world where 100,000 immigrants come in and kill 30 million people, slaughtered them, destroyed virtually every Christian temple, church in that country, in Russia, killed all the priests, the bishops, raped the nuns and killed the nuns. They were hanging all over the country. Now, there was one particular sect that weren't touched. Now, you can work out for yourself why that is. But not one synagogue was touched. Yeah. Oh, I wonder why. I better move on. Get angry and think about it. Okay. Before I move off this page. Unwanted immigrant invaders have no rights in our home. Indigenous peoples of the British Isles are now protected. So what does that mean? Protected. Under the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which is called UNDRIP, anyone, including fellow Britons, that are found to be denigrating our Indigenous people, can be prosecuted. As our Caucasoid peoples of these isles have now been proven to have existed as nations on these islands for at least 33,000 years. Now think about that term for a sec. We were told when we were at school, nothing really happened here before the Romans came. Now they did everything for us. We were just nomadic tribes before they came. Absolutely untrue. This country, the reason they came here is that this country was producing gold. We had gold mines, silver mines, tin mines. And they were producing fine arts and sending them as far as the Orient, China, all over the world. They were exporting these goods. And that's what the Romans wanted. When they came up here, you know, they subjugated our people. And they made a beeline for the Druids, because they'd been the captives. They were holding the wealth. They pursued them all the way to the Isle of Anglesey. And they were hiding there in caves and what have you. So the Romans chopped down every tree in Anglesey, according to records, burned them to the ground so that they could see clearly where they were hiding, burned them all, killed them all, and took the wealth. And while they were up there, there was a lady named Boadicea, who took advantage of the fact that the Romans, nearly all of their legions, had gone to Anglesey. So her and their people attacked London, the Roman base, and slaughtered everyone there. So well done, Boadicea. So if you think about 33,000 years in the overall scheme of things, that's three times longer than the indigenous, so-called indigenous Americans, and around 50 times longer than the Maoris of New Zealand. We now have the same protections as other indigenous peoples. It's up to us to enforce that. Next page. Yeah. The indigenous peoples of these islands have the right to be free from any kind of discrimination in the exercise of our cultural rights and our identity. That includes education, health, employment, language, religion, music, and other cultural aspects. Alison, music. Based on our indigenous origin and identity. We have the right to freely associate to determine our political, economic, social and cultural development, as we're doing today. We have the right to maintain and strengthen our distinct political, legal, economic institutions, while retaining our rights to participate fully, if we choose to, and we don't have to, in the political, economic, social and cultural life of the state. That means we're not forced to go along with whatever the government wants to do. We can rule ourselves. If anyone says we can't govern ourselves, then they're imposing tyranny on us. And we have a so-called democracy, which we, anyone who's been in this movement for a certain amount of time, we know we don't live in any kind of democracy, because everything is fixed to make sure the status quo remains the same. There's a couple of sets of different administrators. One's called the Conservatives, the other one the Labour Party. They're just two sides of the same coin. Got very, very slightly different ways of doing it, but they both serve the bankers. So we don't have to be doing that. This declaration, which was signed by the United Kingdom in 2007, I believe, and they've agreed to abide by the rules of it, is a very significant weapon towards eliminating the violations of our rights in our homeland. Keep in mind that applies to everyone in these isles, the English, the Welsh, the Scottish, the Irish. You know, these islands have been in existence 33,000 years, not just in existence, but that's the earliest evidence of nations. And that's, you know, that is up on the internet. You can research that if you want to. The oldest evidence, in fact, of any nations in Europe, which is the Caucasoid realm. The Caucasoid means basically anyone born of European existence, origins, I should say. So we need to be very proud of that, you know, and that's that came from what they called the Red Lady of Paddleland, which is in the Gower Peninsula in South Wales. Originally, when it was first discovered, because the skeletal system was covered in red ochre, people that found it, and there was jewellery and things in the grave, they thought, oh, well, this must be a woman. Probably a woman that was during the Roman times. Then they reanalyzed the DNA and you know, they did all of the research, scientific research, and found, oh my God, this is 33,000 years old. And it was a ritual burial, whereby the king, or whatever he was, the leader of that particular kingdom, was buried. And then they came back a year or two later, and when his skin had evaporated, and they covered him in red ochre, so that his remains would last forever, essentially. And they laid out all these things. Now, that doesn't happen for one chap on his own, just living in a cave, maybe with his missus. That doesn't happen. You know, the whole of the scientific community has accepted that is the earmarks of a nation. So, who are the British voice? We're a democratic campaign movement with a strong and coherent voice to express the will and the needs of the indigenous Caucasoid peoples of the British Isles. English, Scottish, Welsh and Irish. And we're also a political party that will ultimately seek election to office in order to fulfil the needs of the British people. Today's politicians are out of touch with the British people, and instead of focusing on the needs of our people, they cater solely for the globalist bankers, and they demand that we, the people, do as we are told. The actions of those politicians are contrary to our constitution, and our mission is to reinstate the sovereignty of the indigenous Britain. So, before I turn the page on that, the people are in power. Whether we realise it or not, this is our country. Yeah. There are certain people... When the Queen, when the monarch has their, you know, when they're given their permission to govern this country, to rule this popular country, they do so with the permission of the people. When the politicians go into the houses of traitors and frauds, commonly known as the Houses of Parliament, you know, politicians and lords, they do so as our servants. They are our lackeys, frankly. Let's get it right. They're not our bosses. They do as they're bloody told. That's on the page. Britain is our homeland. The British voice will never cease our struggle to recover our homeland and return its ownership and control to the rightful owners. the indigenous British people. All of our organisations gathered here today can now move forward together under each and every one of our banners for our ultimate cause, to help save our people and our country. Before I step down, let me just indicate that all of those laws are shown in this little leaflet here. It can be passed out to anybody, even the general public, but it's most important that the people in our movement understand that those are the rules, our rules, that we can impose upon them. Brexit is being stalled because of an immigrant who's coming to our country, Gina Miller, from Central America, and she, with the backing of very wealthy bankers, has managed to stall the views of 17.5 million people. Well, that's unlawful. But the Supreme Court has upheld it, because the Supreme Court is dominated by those controllers that Emily indicated to earlier. Now, we shouldn't allow that. And if you look at Gina, if you research Gina Miller, you'll find that her father is of the same particular type, you know? And he's an immigrant to that country in Central America, and he's always also a communist. He stood for election as a communist many times. Yet she somehow happens to be loaded. Now, most of us in this room know that those same controllers, the banksters that control us now, they're the ones who finance communism and Marxism. That's why, you know, people out there falling for the idea of straight trade unions, standing up for them. No, they don't. The trade unions work for the bankers. Let's get that right.
That's right.
Anyway, for me, I've just been handed this by a constitutional expert that we have in the room, which is an excellent way of avoiding their courts. The same with the courts, they are actually in control. Once, if a copper comes to you, I'll just say this very briefly, and then a copper comes up to you and says, what's your name? Well, sorry, officer, but I don't consent. What do you mean? I'm not prepared to give you my name because I don't have to. I've not broken any laws, and I don't consent. Now, they may put you in prison for saying that, but it's unlawful, and you can prosecute them for it. So, when you give your name, well, they go on, usually they go on to say, do you understand what I'm saying? Now, they speak in a different language. That sounds like plain English to most people. But what it actually means from their perspective is, do you stand under my authority? And the answer, as always, is, I don't consent. Thank you, officer, I don't consent. You can say it as politely as you want. Don't get aggressive. They want you to get aggressive. They want you to get angry. You don't need to. Just, I don't consent. Most coppers will say, well, walk away. So, that's the common law. Now, as soon as you get aggressive, they say, oh, he's aggressive, he's angry. Whether you do or you don't, whether they arrest you, you go, do you get taken into their court? And they'll say, are you Fred Bloggs? Yeah, so I don't consent. And there's a few other words that are in this that you can say, to show the fact that you don't have to engage with them, because they're talking about a third person. I don't want to get too heavily involved in this, it's all on the internet, but there's something called the legal fiction, which, my name is Mike Whitby. I was baptized and, you know, Mary's got a birth certificate when I was a month old or whatever. I had no say in the matter. But when they did that, under this Cessna Trust that we touched on earlier, they enslaved the person known as Mr. Michael Whitby. So that's a second person. That's like a limited company. I don't have to accept responsibility for a limited company. That just never benefits me. Why should I? So, you know, I could say, I'm Mike of the family Whitby. Or I'm Mike Whitby. I'm not here to represent the legal fiction. So there are 101 ways how we can deal with this. And we need to get used to the idea that oh, we can win this war. Because it is a war.
Yeah.
If we go to war with somebody, you don't leave half your soldiers behind you. You get everybody behind you. I, very few people have heard that on the internet, that is in the general media, that 2 or 3 weeks ago, between 10 and 30,000 people marched through London, 20 abreast for about half a mile. Thousands of people against immigration. It's never been shown on the TV, not on the, you know, only on the internet. And we do have supporters out there. You know, so it's up to us really to refine our message and get that message out there. Thanks for listening.
Fantastic. Give another clap, everybody.
You are listening to Radio Aryan for an alternative to the anti-white system on RadioAryan.com.